Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We give you the praise and give you the glory. And we are in the house of the Lord again, fellowshipping one with another. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father, even through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, the entrance of your word we know brings light. And God bless his word into our hearts this morning. And let the name of the Lord be glorified. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus one more time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, clap like somebody who's excited about the Lord. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I am going to be dealing on the subject of, prayer in a little bit. The title will be ASK. Triple action faith, which is ask, seek, and knock. And I am going to be reading some scriptures and saying some things that the Lord gave me to share with us. So, again, the title of our message this morning is ASK. How do you spell ask? Anybody? ASK. Now, A is for ask, S is for seek, and K is for knock. So there's a triple action even in that word ask. And we're going to be dealing with that this morning. Are you still with me here this morning? All right. So, at the end of the sermon, I may ask you how to spell ask. So you'll be paying attention. Before I get into the real part of the message, let me first discuss or ask, maybe I'll make this a little bit interactive, this segment, I don't know. But why do we sometimes not get what we want from the Lord? Well, there are many reasons, perhaps because we don't ask. But if we ask, why is it that we don't get sometimes? Well, there's also other reasons. So let's do that first part, for a few minutes. I have some 7 reasons listed down here that I'm going to share with us why sometimes we don't receive answers to our prayers. But I'm going to throw out the question to us for just a minute. Why do we think that sometimes our prayers don't get the answers that we're looking for? Anybody? I'm not going to pass the mic around, so just speak up if you have it. All right, timing. Somebody says sin. Somebody said this and that. Okay. Sometimes we ask amiss. All of these are very good answers. Now, let me go over very quickly some of the reasons that I have here. One person said, sin. Another person said we had amiss. Sometimes says timing and all of that. Those are all good answers. There is one thing that encapsulates all of the reasons that I'm going to give here this morning. One thing. But let's look at the reasons according to the scriptures. Now, there may be other reasons. I just picked out these few because, there's so many reasons in the Bible. But I think these few that I picked out will cover most of them. And then one particular reason will cover all of them. Now, the first, of course, if we cannot get anything from the Lord without faith. Amen? Are you with me, folks, this morning? Well, if you're there, respond so I know you're there. We cannot receive anything from the Lord without faith. The Bible clearly teaches that. And there are 2 scriptures in the Bible for that. And I'm going to quickly go through some of these reasons as we read them here in the Bible. Just so we understand the word of God. So let us take a quick look at Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So without faith, we cannot please the Lord. So also without faith, we can't expect to get anything from the Lord. James chapter 1 talks about the same thing in a different way and more specifically. So turn with me to the book of James, chapter 1, and I'm going to just read verses 6 and 7. Or let me even start from 5. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven of the wind and tossed. It's driven of the wind and is tossed when they waver. He said, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So doubt and unbelief is reason number one here that we see that people may not receive what they are asking from the Lord. Another reason we see, somebody had actually mentioned that this morning, is sin. You can read that in the book of Isaiah chapter 59. We read in the first couple of verses. Turn with me to Isaiah 59. And it tells us that, look, the hand of the Lord is not shutting that he cannot save. And his ear is not deaf that he cannot hear. You know, but what is the problem? He said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you, from him. I mean, hid his face from you, sorry, so that he will not hear. So, as we go through some of these reasons, I just want to lay a background for why sometimes prayers are not forthcoming or answers are not forthcoming to the prayers. Now, another reason, which also somebody from the congregation mentioned this morning, is we ask for the wrong reasons. Somebody said that in the congregation when I asked that question. You can find that in the book of James chapter 4 as we turn to it. And the book of James chapter 4, this one is also very explicit in, you know, telling us why sometimes we don't get what we are looking for. He says in verse 2, ye lost and you have not, you even kill and desire to have and you obtain not, you fight, you war, you do all of these things, you know, but you have not because you ask not. So one reason is people don't ask. You know, you may wish to have something, but if you're not asking the Lord point blank, you may not be getting it. But here's the one that I want to talk about. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. You know, amiss means, well, it's not according to the will of the Lord. And he says, well, you ask so that you can consume it upon your own lust. Generally, you know, we want to ask for something that glorifies the Lord, that is according to his will, and that, you know, brings glory to his name. So that's another reason. So far, I've gone through about three reasons. There's another big reason here that, you know, prayers may not be answered sometimes. It's called unforgiveness. Hello? Unforgiveness. It says here in the book of Mark, chapter 11 and verse 25. You know, talks about the great faith in the first few verses before that. You know, that you can even say to the mountain, move it, and it will move. You know, if you don't doubt, you say it in your heart. Whatsoever you say will come to pass, Jesus said. You know, and he said all of those things. But he said in verse 11, Mark 11 and 25, he said, but, you know, when you stand praying, what did he say you must do? Looks like everybody went to sleep on me. When you stand praying, what must you do? And when you stand praying, forgive. You know, if you have aught against any, even as so that your heavenly Father, even as he may also forgive your trespasses. So, for unforgiveness is sometimes another reason why prayers may not bring forth the answers that we are looking for. You know, there is a strange one here that people may not think about sometimes. You know, I like to call it strife in the home. You know, although, you know, in this particular text, it's talking about the husband, how he should deal with the wife and so forth. But, you know, generally, it's just something is not going right in there. You know, maybe causing a problem. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3 and verse 7. We see where the Lord is commanding the husband to deal with their wives according to wisdom and so forth, treating them, you know, with honor, even though they are the weaker vessel, you know, and so forth like that, so that their prayers may not be hindered. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So we see that prayers may also be hindered if there is no good relationship or something is not happening right between husband and wife. You know, in this particular case, giving instruction to the husband how to deal with the wife. Now pay attention to these things. You know, God is not going to circumvent his word. Hello, folks. God will not circumvent his word. You know, so there's reasons why all these things are in the scriptures. Now, so we need to pay attention. Here's another one. You know, and this one is interesting. You know, some people sometimes disregard God's word. You know, well, if you disregard God, say God, it doesn't matter. You know, this doesn't matter or that doesn't matter. Well, here's what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9. He says, well, a person that disregards God's word, even his prayer will be what? Will be an abomination. So turn to Proverbs chapter 28 Proverbs chapter 28, and let me just read just one verse here at verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer, shall be an abomination. So that's one other reason that prayers may not get answered. You know, people just turn their, you know, ears from the word of the Lord. They couldn't care less. You know, say it doesn't matter and so forth. Well, you know, the prayer in that case may even be an abomination. So let's take note of these things. You know, so far we have covered about six of this of the reasons why people's prayers may not be answered. Number seven, it is not according to God's will. You know, this one encompasses everything. It's not according to God's will. So we may be praying something, but if it is not according to God's will, well, God is under no obligation to do it. Praise the Lord. Now, you can find that in the book of Lamentation, chapter 3 and verse 37. Lamentation 3:37 says, who is it that saith to something and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? So, you know, you can say all you want, but if that's not what God wants, well, it may not come to pass. You know, so it's not according to God's will. We know that. But here's another scripture that tells us something. It says it in a different way, but if you turn it around and look at the corollary of, or the opposite of what it's saying, you may see that it says exactly the same thing that I'm saying here. This one is in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. In the book of 1st Epistle of John chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, look, we know, we have this confidence in the Lord, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Well, so if you turn that around, that means if we ask something that is not according to his will, well, maybe he's not going to be obligated to do it. Praise the Lord. So that one there, right there, covers just about everything. You know, if something is not according to the will, then the scripture admonishes us to understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, how do we find out what the will of the Lord is? Well, by searching the scriptures. Praise ye the Lord. Now, also the Holy Spirit may reveal to us, but first we must search the scriptures, because that God already gave to us. Praise the Lord. Now, let me get into the lesson part of this morning's message. Now, I've already laid this foundation of why sometimes our prayers are not answered, and I've gone through this very quickly. Remember, the topic is ASK. We are spelling and defining what it means to ask. And ask is spelled ASK. But the A in the ask is for ask, the S is for seek, and the K is for knock. And you'll find that Jesus put it out himself like that. And Jesus was teaching them. And there are two texts that I'm going to read to bring this subject out. And then another text later on. But in the book of Matthew chapter 7 and also Luke chapter 11 is where the Lord talked about this. Let me start first from Luke chapter 11. Because Jesus brought this out in answer to, you know, the question that his disciples asked him about prayer, at least the way that Luke recorded it here. So in Luke chapter 11, here's what we have, starting at the very beginning of the chapter. And it came to pass, while he was praying in a certain place, when he had ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, even as John taught also his disciples. So, you know, they wanted to know how to pray. Well, and Jesus began to say to them, well, when you pray, you know, pray like this, you know, that, you know, our Father who art in heaven and so forth like that, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So it's got to be according to his will. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And then you can pray for your needs. That's okay. Give us this day our daily bread. First we pray for his kingdom. Then we, you know, pray that everything be done according to his will. Then we ask for our needs, you know, daily bread. Then, you know, forgiveness must be part of it. You know, forgive our sins because we're also forgiving others. Give us the grace. I suggest that people also pray, you know. You can pray and say, Lord, give me the grace to forgive, you know, everybody that has some hurt, you know, or I've received some hurt from them. You know, give me the grace to forgive. Amen. Praise the Lord, because that is very important. Now, but when he finished that, he went on to, you know, expatiate on this topic of prayer. So he's still on the subject of prayer. And then he would say a few more things to help them understand it better. And here's where we pick up today's lesson. Verse 5 or chapter 11 of Luke. Now, which of you, he said, shall have a friend, which shall go to him at midnight and say unto him, friend, can you let me have a few loaves? Because I have a visitor that came out from out of town and the stores are now closed. I can't go down to the store. Let me have something to give to my visitor. And, you know, look at what Jesus said. You know, he said, the man from within, verse 7, can say to him, look, it's already late. My kids are in bed. I'm already in bed. I'm not, you know, forget it. I can't come up and go through the pantry to give you anything. You know, we're already in bed. Go away. You know, so that's what he said to him. And then look at verse 8. This is very critical. I say unto you, in verse 8, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend, you know, the guy's already in bed. He couldn't, you know, whether it's his friend or not, he's not going to get up just for that. But there's one reason that he is going to get up. Now, this is the lesson that Jesus taught, and I want us to pay attention to it. Jesus said, look, this man may not get up to give his friend, you know, that's at the door, what he's asking for, you know, just because he's his friend. But there is one reason why he will do it. The word that is used here is importunity, but it's more like his persistence. The persistence of his friend that keeps knocking at the door, you know, because the man says he's sleeping, go away. And the guy will not stop and he keeps knocking. And the only way to get rid of him is better get up and give him what he wants. Praise the Lord. And Jesus told this story and he said, look, not because he's his friend, but because the guy is bothering him, this guy is going to get up and give him as many as he wants just to get rid of him so he can go back to bed. You know, and Jesus said, wow, you know. And then he went on and said this in verse 9. He said, therefore I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And I, you know, sometimes when I read the scriptures, I look to look for these little acronyms and so forth. This one is the ASK rule here. It's a triple action to your faith. You know, you must ask and you must seek and you may have to knock sometimes. But look at what he says in the next verse, and I'm going to explain that. I will go also to the book of Matthew to explain that. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And then he went on and said, look, as if that's not enough, he's still on this subject of how to receive things. And he's going to give a comparison, you know, to all of them. Say, look, those of you who are parents and you have kids that ask you stuff, you know how to deal with them. You know how much more your heavenly Father. So he says, look, if your son shall ask of you bread, will you give him a stone? Hello? And if your son shall ask of you a fish, will you give him a snake instead? No. Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? No. You know, so he goes on to say, look, you who are evil, you know, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more they are your Heavenly Father? You know, so, you know, this one talks about the Holy Spirit, but I like it the way that it says it in the book of Matthew. Talk about, you know, how your Heavenly Father will give you good things that you ask Him. So let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And the way that Matthew brings it out, he says, you know, pretty much the same thing. So in verse 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you that his son will ask bread and give him a stone? Or if he shall ask fish, give him a serpent? Or, you know, if you shall ask, you know, and so forth like that. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give you good things unto them that ask Him? So he's talking about how you can receive things. First, you must recognize that God is our good Father. He's our Heavenly Father. He is in heaven. We who are fathers, today we are celebrating Father's Day. You know, fathers know how to do, you know, some of the ladies came out and said, fathers do this and so forth for their, you know, and the, you know, the sister came and prayed and said, the fathers have been doing this and that. You know, fathers know how to do this, but, you know, in our human nature, you know, before we were regenerated and so forth like that, there's no good thing in us, you know. So, if we, you know, evil people by nature, they know how to do good things to their children. What about the Father that is in heaven? Praise the Lord. So you must cultivate, first of all, that relationship. Now, but he goes on to say, you know, everyone that asketh receiveth. Now, so here is the argument. I love a good argument sometimes. You know, not the argument that causes strife, but you know, a good debate. You know, so let's debate this for a minute. Of course, I'm the one that's debating it. But let's debate it for a minute. Now, if everyone that asketh receiveth, and everyone that seeketh findeth, and everyone that knocketh it shall be opened unto him, well, why then is it necessary for me to do all three? If already I ask, I receive, why should I seek? Because everyone that asketh receiveth. Are you still with me? If everyone that asketh receiveth, if I'm saying that triple action faith, sometimes you got to ask, sometimes you got to seek, and sometimes you got to knock. Or sometimes you got to do all three. Well, if I ask and I receive, then what's the point of seeking? Because I already received when I asked. Well, the point is this. Sometimes you may ask and you may not receive right away. And God is telling us how to do it and how to get the job done. Now, if you have faith, you know, and if you have real faith, you might be able instantaneously to get anything you want from the Lord. But sometimes it doesn't work just quite like that. And this scripture right here, this Matthew 7:7-8. One of the first scriptures, personally, that I learned when I was about 19 years old, coming into the ministry for the first time. You know, God called me at that age. And He called me into the evangelistic ministry and so forth like that, deliverance ministry. Way back then, I was only 19 or 20. You know, and I learned this scripture because, you know, I knew then how faith worked. You know, and I always used to say, everyone that asketh receiveth. And God, He worked it every single time too. And I knew that all I had to do was believe God and He would do it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And that scripture has stayed with me ever since. Now, everyone that asketh believe will receive. You know, if you believe that, well, you say, well, why is it then I didn't receive? Well, maybe you did receive. You know, but maybe you didn't recognize the way that God was answering. Now, but there are some times that God wants us to do something. In the book of James, we are taught how faith without works is dead. How many of you know that? The Bible says faith without works is dead. In the book, you can read it all in James chapter 2. That's not my topic today, but it goes with this topic. Even as faith without works is dead, so sometimes asking alone without seeking and knocking will not bring results. You may be dead. And sometimes you may have to seek. Sometimes you may have to knock. Sometimes you may have to do one thing or the other. And, you know, we see so many examples in the Bible where Jesus wanted us to do something. Wanted the people to do something. Now, Jesus didn't have to. He didn't need any help for anything he did. You know, I mean, one time Peter needed to pay taxes. Jesus didn't need any help. He didn't need to send Peter down to the river and so forth to go and catch a fish and open his mouth and do all that. He could have just snapped his hand and the coin would be in his hand just like that. He could do it. He's the creator. Praise the Lord. But he didn't. He made Peter do something. And he made Peter think about it while he's going down to get his fishing gear. But first, he didn't have his fishing gear with him. He had to go down to his house or go down to the store or whatever and get that fishing gear. And the whole time, Peter is thinking about it. And the whole time, he's having an opportunity to doubt the word of God. So the word of God is being tried. See, that's one thing. You know, so that's one reason why sometimes it's not instantaneous all the time. God may delay and try you during that process to see if you continue to believe. Now, if Peter had gone down to his house and said, well, you know, or maybe on the way say, well, I don't know about that, you know, catch a fish. Whoever heard any such thing, you know, the silver coin will be in his fish, in the mouth and so forth. Nah, you know, well, the miracle would not have occurred. So, but God, you know, showing us something here. The Lord teaching Peter to do something, you know, and sometimes we have to do something. One time Jesus said to some 10 lepers, you know, go and show yourself to the priest. Well, they didn't have, you know, it could have been healed right there. He doesn't have to do that, you know, but he did anyway. You know, and as they were going, then something happened. And teaching them also that sometimes you have to do something. You know, one time, you know, the man of God said to, you know, Naaman, the Syrian captain of the host of the Syrian army and so forth, that came, you know, to Elisha, the prophet. And he says, Naaman said to him, well, go down over here and watch in the pool of this Jordan and so forth. You know, and then the man was angry, but well, he had to do it in order for him to get healed. Of course, his servant, you know, brought him back to his senses. You know, and then one time Jesus, in the book of John chapter 9, you know, he put, you know, he spat on the floor, you know, on the ground, made clay, put somebody's eye, and he told the man to go and wash in the pool of one Siloam, and he washed, and he came seeing. You know, there's all these stories in the Bible. And Jesus didn't have to do all that. He didn't have to send the man to the pool, but sometimes he shows us that sometimes we need to do some other things rather than just pray. Praise the name of the Lord. And this truth is throughout the whole Bible. You know, every time that God did anything in the Bible, he could have just done it instantaneously. But most times he lets us go through a process. You know, even Moses, while he was there, you know, facing the Red Sea and so forth, Pharaoh breathing down their neck, you know, and crying to the Lord. And Lord said, what are you crying to me about? Go forward. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You got to do something. If you don't move, the Red Sea will not open up. So you must do something about it. Praise ye the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, so, you know, sometimes we say, you know, well, you know, and I'm going to bring this home in a minute when I'm at the end of this. But, you know, sometimes some people want something from the Lord and they don't want to do anything. Well, now, anytime you want, now, the key thing in anything that we are doing with the Lord or whatever is, we must be led by the Spirit of God. That is the key thing. It is the absolute key thing. Romans 8 and 14 will tell you that. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So God may tell you to not do anything. Are you still with me, folks? That's right. God may tell you, stand still and do nothing. The battle is the Lord's. He may tell you that. So I'm not throwing that off. God may tell you that. And if that's what he tells you, that's exactly what you must do. But he may also tell you, get up and leave this place and go down to one city called Zarephath, because they have prepared a widow woman to sustain thee. He may tell you that too. Well, God could have sustained Elijah right there by the brook that dried up. He didn't have to go somewhere, but he may tell him to do that. Praise ye the name of the Lord. So God has all these different ways. He may tell you to do something. Instead of reviving the brook that dried, he may choose to let the brook dry. And then he may choose to let you travel many miles before you get that miracle. You may have to go from where you are to all a long time somewhere else. Even Jesus was talking about it when he was rebuking the Pharisees. He said, look, there are many widows in Israel, but none of them were healed. I mean, Elijah had to go many, many miles somewhere else before, you know, he will find a widow that will be healed. So God may make you do all those things. You know, anything he says, we must do. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Anything he says. One time they came to Mary, they said, well, you know, we're out of wine and so forth. You know, and they, you know, she said, well, you know, he said, look, whatever he tells you, God do. Hallelujah. That was his first miracle, they said, you know, the marriage at Cana of Galilee, you know, and so forth. Now they, you know, and then Jesus, Mary understood. And she said, look, whatever he tells you, just do it. Now, I'm telling you too, whatever the Lord tells us is what we must do. Now, in the absence of you hearing directly from God, I'm telling you the principle right now of how it works. This is how it works. Jesus already laid it down. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. That's how you spell ask. Amen. Amen, folks.
Amen.
Ask. It contains three different actions that you must do. Now, I'm going to come back to something here, but I want to read another story to you, you know, to illustrate what is in these different aspects of ASK, you know, triple action faith. Now, persistence in prayer is what Jesus is teaching here. That's what he was teaching in the story of the man who went to knock at his friend's door, asking for something in the late evening when his stores were closed. He taught that story. There's another story that he taught here in Luke chapter 18. In the same Luke, the first one we read was in Luke 11. This one is in Luke chapter 18. So let's go to Luke chapter 18 and look at how the writer introduces this subject. He says, verse 1, and he, talking about Jesus, spake a parable unto them to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So again, he's going to teach this lesson about persistence. And this story, he said, Jesus said, look, there was in a city a certain judge who neither regarded God, he feared not God, nor regarded man. He didn't care about God. He didn't care. He had no compassion about anybody. Just did his own thing. You know, he didn't care about anybody. So there was this widow woman that came to him. Avenge me, she said, of my enemies. And he would not do it, you know, for a while. Verse 4. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, you know, I will avenge her. Unless, if I don't, she may weary me by her continual coming to me every single day. And the Lord said, hear what the unjudged said. And I love the way the Lord, you know, I don't know, call it anything you want to call it. I love the way the Lord brings out these things. You know, and he's using this story to bring out a very valuable point. And he's saying, look, this woman went to this judge, and this judge was not going to do it for any of the right reasons. He was not going to do it because he had compassion. He was not going to do it because even of the fear of God, trying to uphold justice. He didn't care about any of that. He was not going to do it for any of those reasons. There's only one reason that was going to make him do it: get rid of the woman. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you don't get rid of this woman, she is going to wear you out. Because this woman was not going to take no for an answer. Every single day, they would drive her back off, and next day she's right back. I said, I need this. Hallelujah. And then he would drive her off. She'll be right back the next day. And every single day, she was right back there. And this job finally said, okay, well, that's it. I've had it to hear with this woman. Give her whatever she wants. Get rid of her. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And Jesus said with his own mouth this story. He said, look at this one wicked judge. Said, how then shall not God swiftly avenge his elect, even though he bear long with them? Look, let me forget the word avenge. Maybe you don't understand that. Never mind about that. But let's put it this way. How then will God not answer your prayer?
Amen.
Even though it delays. Even though he bear long with you. But you must stay at the post. You must not give up. You must keep bothering the Lord. Let's use that language, because Jesus said it himself. Bother the Lord. You know, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You tell him, God, this is what your word said, and I'm not going to take no for an answer. Hallelujah. And eventually, Lord said, well, come on over here, you angels. Say, you know, well, what's happening? You know, they say, Lord, what's happening? I say, well, you know, go down over there and make sure my daughter gets what she's been asking for.
Hallelujah! Because she's been bothering me. Go down there and make sure it comes to pass.
Hallelujah. And God will do it too. But look at what he said. Now, let's finish this story. And here's what he said. God will avenge his own elect that cry unto them day and night. This is in verse 7. Shall he not avenge them swiftly, even though he bear long with them? So sometimes he may bear long. This is the reason why God doesn't instantaneously answer every prayer. Because he may bear long with you to see if you will give up. The word of the Lord is tried. See whether you will give up. And he said, well, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. But there is a secret to it too. But what happens if he will avenge them speedily? Verse 8. Nevertheless, when he comes to avenge them, shall he find them still believing? See, this is what happens to people, folks. They've been praying. The Bible says, long hope wearies the heart. You know, but the desire when it comes is like a tree of life. You know, when you have been praying for a long time, your heart is weary. You know, and people, they depart from the post of faith. And just about the time that the prayer that they've been praying is about to be answered, they give up. And when he comes to answer that prayer that you have been praying for night and day, will he find you still believing? That's one way to read this text. Because people always think that it's about the coming of the Lord. Well, maybe it's about that. But he's talking about the subject of prayer here. So let's not depart from that. When he comes, in the day of your visitation, when he finally comes to do that thing that you have been praying for, will you still be at the point of faith? Or will you have moved on? See, because, you know, I've been praying for 2 weeks. The Lord didn't answer. I've been praying for a year. The Lord didn't answer. Well, maybe, you know, this and that and so forth. You know, no. You need to continue to press on.
Amen. Hallelujah.
If he doesn't answer you in one day, don't give up. Praise the Lord. Unless the Lord tells you point blank, don't ask me again. My grace is sufficient for thee. He can tell you that too. He told Paul that. Say, don't ask me about this thing again. That's it. We're done. You know, and then the Lord, you know, Paul also, he recognized the Lord when sometimes God means business. Sometimes God may tell you not to pray about something. He is the Lord. He can do that. You know, and so that's why I said at the beginning, you must be led by God. God may tell, don't pray for these people, you know, because their hearts are wax gross and so forth like that. You know, but if God doesn't say that, then we go back to the scripture that says, pray for all men. Amen. Praise the Lord. But God may tell you something. You know, but if he doesn't tell you, then, you know, then you keep on believing. You keep on believing. And you keep on praying. If it doesn't happen today, it's going to happen tomorrow. You know, and, you know, there's always another day. Praise the name of the Lord. And I'm going to keep on believing. Hallelujah. Now, so that is, you know, what Jesus was teaching. Now, let me give us some scriptures about the A, the S, and the K. A, like I said, is for ask. And throughout the scriptures, we see this in operation. God inviting us to ask for things. And here are a few scriptures. Even for revival. Not only for personal needs. Not only for this and that and so forth. In the book of Zechariah chapter 10, he says, and verse 1, ask ye of me rain in the time of the latter rain, and I will make bright clouds and give them air showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. How many of you can say praise the Lord? Why does the Lord continually tell us to ask? Why doesn't he just do it already? I mean, why tell me to ask? If you are going to do it, just do it already. Why should I ask? Because he said so. Amen. Praise the Lord. You don't question the Lord. He tells you that's the way it is. You know, that's the way it is. You better follow his rules if you want to get your prayers answered. And the rules I'm showing you today are the A, S, and K. Your triple action to bring your faith to come to pass. Now, this is how he does it. Ask, he said. So I just gave you Zechariah 10 and 1. Also in John, the book of John chapter 16 and verse 24, Jesus said, look. Let's take a look at that. John 16:24. He was telling them that, look, you need to ask because you know, you have not been asking. You know, in this particular case, he was telling to his disciples, say, look, hitherto you have asked me nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. The Lord is always encouraging people to ask. Ask, and ye shall receive. Not you may receive. No. Ask, and ye shall receive. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, whether you receive today or tomorrow doesn't make any difference. You shall receive. Praise the name of the Lord. And that's what we are told in Matthew 7:7, where our text came from this morning. Ask, and you shall receive. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Even the Lord said, you know, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 45, and verse 11. Turn with me to Isaiah 45, verse 11. I just picked out a few verses here. There are many, many in the scriptures where he invites us to ask. But here's what he said in Isaiah verse 11. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his maker. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Notice he said the Holy One of Israel, not the Holy Three or Holy Ten or whatever. The Holy One of Israel and his maker. Ask of me things to come. Hallelujah. Oh yes. Ask of me, he said. And even, he says, sometimes, you know, you may have to command me concerning the works of my hands. Folks, this part of the subject is deep. And I don't have time to go through it today, maybe some other time. But there's a time when we do the priestly kind of prayer. And then there's a time when we transition into the kingly kind of prayer, where you take on the authority and you decree things. Hallelujah. You know, but you know, if you haven't learned the other, you can't, you know, transition into this other one. So, but today, we're learning about how to ask from God. Ask, he said, of things to come. That means you have the right. If there's something in your life that you are wanting to know about, you have the right, based on the scripture, to ask. You can even stand in the gap and ask concerning somebody else. Ask me of things to come. Concerning my son. Ask me of things to come concerning the heritage of the sonship in Christ. Things that I will do and reveal to you. Even things that have not entered into anybody's heart. Ask of me and I will show them to you. Praise the name of the Lord. Scriptures are, you can put this application any which way you want. And the scriptures will support it and back it up. Praise the name of the Lord. And in the book of Psalms 2 and verse 8. It even says, ask ye even of the hidden. Ask me. And I will give you even the healing for an inheritance. Yeah. Hallelujah. You want people to be saved? You want people to be saved, folks? Yeah. Well, maybe some of you don't care. You want people to be saved? Yeah. Ask of me, saith the Lord, and I will give you even the healing for an inheritance. Yeah. Well, some people may translate that some other way and so forth, but I love to look at it for salvation of souls. It can mean anything you want. You know, it could mean possessing their gates and so forth like that. But, you know, I love to see, you know, people come to Christ. Amen, don't you? Praise ye the name of the Lord. Ask of me, he said, and I will give you these things, but you must ask. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, let's quickly look at seek, which is the next one. Why must we seek? Well, sometimes you have to, you know. Because if the asking is not getting it done, if the desire that's in your heart, you are not getting it done, sometimes you have to seek. Now, it's like somebody, you know, that's looking for a job. You're looking for a job. Maybe in your heart you say, well, I want this kind of job. Well, that's your desire. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. But you can also seek the Lord to see what he wants for you. But nothing wrong in desiring something good. There's nothing wrong with that. Bible says, what things soever you desire, you know, when you pray. So, and God may tell you, oh, you know, just sit down at home. I'm going to bring the job to you. He can do that because he's God. But I guarantee you, most of the time, the answer is, you got to get up and go look for something. Praise the Lord. You got to get up. You got to look in the, you got to look online. You got to go to the job fairs. You got to do all of these things. You got to keep looking. You got to go down the street and see those places where it say now hiring and go knock. Hallelujah. You got to do all these things. You can't just sit down at home unless he tells you to do that, you know. And most of the time, you got to go do something. Now, let's look at some examples of how people must actually seek after the things that they are believing God for. Not only for material things, but even for spiritual things. We can't just wish that revival will happen. You know, I mean, some people just wish and talk about it. Oh, revival. Oh, this and that. That's not going to get it done.
You're going to have to seek the Lord while he may be found. You are going to have to pursue after the Lord.
And that's what God wants. He wants us to seek after him. Listen to this in Psalms 27 and verse 4. This is the way the psalmist put it. He said, one thing have I desired, you know, that will I seek after. So you see God bringing it together. And this man understood that, look, you don't only have to desire it, but you have to actually seek after it. Well, do you desire the glory of God in your life? I'm asking you a question, folks. Do you desire the glory of God? To them, it was to dwell in the house of the Lord. That's what it was. But, you know, for us, it's way beyond that because it's the presence of the Lord. Now, you know, but you must seek after. I say, look, that will I seek after. So when you desire, you must also seek after it all the days of my life, he said. So we see how he's doing the seeking in addition to what he is desiring. Look at Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. This will tell you that, look, you know, there is a time that we must seek the Lord, you know, while he may be found. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. He says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Are you telling me that there is some time when he may not be found? Well, I don't know about that, but this scripture tells you that, look, even Jesus said, there is a daytime when people may walk, and you better do it. There is a coming a nighttime where nobody will be able to get anything done. So you better walk while it is yet day. Praise ye the name of the Lord. So you better seek the Lord while God is moving. And when God is on a roll with you, keep on believing and keep on getting more. Praise ye the name of the Lord. One time the prophet of the Lord, he said, you know, shoot forth your arrows. And the man only shot three times or this and that. And he said, why do you stop for? You are on a roll. Why do you stop? Now you would have driven back the Syrians forever. But because you stop, you are only going to beat them three times. Because he only shot the arrow three times. So when you are on the roll, keep on believing God. Amen. Don't stop. Hallelujah. Now, you must keep on believing and keep on trusting God even for more. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13. Jeremiah 29. And ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. Now, these scriptures I'm giving you is showing us how we must seek. I already gave you how we must ask. So we must also seek. Now, this means no haphazard seeking the Lord. If you need to get something, you may need to get a jug of water and some crackers and go up and bury your head on your knees in the bush somewhere and get a hold of God until God answers your prayer. Amen. Now, you may have to do that sometimes if that's what it's going to take. And, you know, so be it. You know, but you must be determined not to give up. Praise the Lord. Now, let's look at the book of Luke, chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. And this is going to illustrate a story about somebody seeking. I mean, Jesus, he told all these stories, and I love to read these stories. So let's read just two verses out of Luke chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. Now, either there is a woman, he was telling a story about, in this particular case, he was talking about joy in heaven over a sinner that repents, but the concept is still the same, seeking to find something. There is a woman who had 10 pieces of silver, Jesus said. Now, if she shall lose one piece, does she not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently? She didn't just stay there and pray that the lost piece of money would just show up. She began to seek diligently. So again, Jesus is bringing out, you know, the topic here. I'm bringing out the concept, you know, that look, you lost something and so forth. You're going up. You want something, the Lord. Sometimes you really have to do something. This woman lit a candle. She began to sweep the house and began to seek diligently until she found that what she was lost. And when she found it, she called together and celebrated. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Call her friends and celebrate it. So Jesus is showing us the concept of seeking. Now let me go quickly to the... Now, I have already talked about the A, which is for ask. And I've talked about the S, which is for seek. What is the last one in the ask? That would be K for knock. Amen? All right, so let's talk about knocking. Now, before I show any scriptures about that, let's think about what knocking means. You know, what do we normally knock on? Hello? Our door. You know, now Jesus, I love to say this. I say it all the time. many times in his teachings, he always used natural things. He didn't use any great big words. He just used natural things to explain whatever he was talking about. Door, corn, bread, fish, scorpion, this, rain, house, whatever. You know, natural things. It's what he used. So, he's talking about knocking. We know that we normally knock on a door. Well, let me put it to you this way. If the door is open, you can walk right in. Hallelujah! Well, you know, sometimes out of courtesy, people may knock just before they walk in. You know, you come into the office is open, and somebody's office, you may still knock slightly, you know, but then you can walk right in. The open door means come on right in. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what it means. If I see your door open, I may knock, but I'm coming right in, you know. Knock just to let you know that I'm coming in, not asking if I may come in, because the door is open. If the door is open, you can walk right in. Now, so, but if the door is locked or closed, that's when we typically knock. So, think about that, folks. Because I'm trying to bring this teaching today so that nobody will go away from this place and not understand how to get their prayers answered. After today, you must get every prayer answered. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, when the door is open, and there are scriptures for that, in the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8, Jesus said, look, I have set before you an open door. Amen? That's right. Now, when he said before you an open door, well, the problem is, some people will not walk right in. They will stand there and be looking for the door because maybe they are smitten with blindness. There are some people smitten with blindness one time and they wearied themselves to look for the door and they couldn't find it. Well, that will not be our case in Jesus' name. Amen. If the door is open, you must find it and walk right in. But if the door is not open, then you need to knock. And when you are knocking, don't knock one time and go away. Now, I want you the next time you go to your friend's house and knock, just think of it when you knock. I can guarantee you it is not natural. And you can think how unnatural it is for you to just go somewhere and knock one time and walk away. It is not natural. Most people, the only people that do that are the people that are not waiting for you to answer the door. Like the delivery man from UPS. He just wants to deliver the door. He's just letting you know, I came. He's not waiting for you to answer the door. So he knocks one time and he puts your thing down and he's gone. Praise the Lord. But somebody who wants to get in that door, they do not knock one time. Especially when you see your friend's car outside on the door. You know, you see the friend's car is in the driveway. You know they are home. So you are not leaving. You are knocking that door. And they are going to open that door. Hallelujah. Especially when you drove a long distance to get there. They're not just going to knock one time and leave. Jesus is using these things. Even though they look simple, folks, they carry significant and important messages. Don't just knock one time and give up. Don't just knock one time and bail away. You stay there and knock until that door is open. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Whatever the door is, if it is open, walk right in. But if it is closed, keep knocking until it is open. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Now that is what God wants us to do. Hallelujah. Now, the summary of the things we have spoken is this. I said at the beginning that I am going to ask you how to spell ask. Can somebody spell ask? Anybody spell ask? A-S-K. That is how you spell ask. Well, A actually, ask is actually an acronym for something else. Even though it means a word by itself, but in this message, we are using it as an acronym for triple action faith. And what might those things be? Anybody? Ask, seek, and knock. Isn't it wonderful that those three letters spell ask? You know, that means that even when you are asking, there may need to be an element of seeking. And sometimes there may need to be an element of knocking. Because Jesus put it all together in the same sentence. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall knock. I mean, fine. Knock and shall be open unto you. You know, and so forth. You know, but remember, he put down point blank promises.
ask and it shall be. Not ask and you may receive. Hello, folks. Did Jesus say ask and you may receive?
No.
He didn't say that. You know, he said ask and you shall receive. You know, some people say, well, you know, God says yes or no or all these things. No, that's not what the scripture says. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Now, when you are seeking, you may have to pray that God will show you where the door is. Now, take note of this, because these are the punchlines in this message. I'm now summarizing to the message. You may have to pray for God to reveal to you where the door is. And God may reveal to you that it is an open door already, or that the door is shut, but you need to knock. And if God, you know, so you're seeking maybe to find where the door is. Now, when you find where the door is, then you have to kick it up another notch. Hallelujah. Then you must knock until that door is open. Now, you know, if you don't keep knocking and you walk right away, it may be like Luke chapter 18. When he finally comes to the door to open, will you still be there? You're already gone. Because you thought he was not. You know, how many of you ever experienced that? You knock, 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 knock. The guy is in the backyard, so they didn't hear you. You know, so finally, when you leave, they come to the door and they look around. There's nobody there, but you already left. You know, let it not be like that for us in Jesus' name. You stay there until God opens the door or tells you that move on to something else. You know, see, so it's very simple. You know, I'm going to stay with the word of God unless he tells me otherwise. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is what God already said. So I'm going to use what God already said. Now, if he wants to do otherwise, that's his business. But I'm staying with the word of God. God already said that when I ask, I will receive. But remember, we put everything together under one umbrella. It's got to be according to his word. And it's got to be according to his will. And it's also going to be, we have to fulfill. What is the, you know, many promises in the word of God carry some kind of a premise. Something we have to do in order to get it done. You know, but the general one is that, look, it has to be according to the will of God. So we need to take time to find out and understand what the will of God is for our lives or for the situation that we are praying about. But once you zero in on it, don't turn loose until God answers your prayer. Now, so A for ask, S for seek, and K for knock. And we have gone through and shown examples in the Bible of where God, you know, commanded us to ask for things. We have also shown stories in the Bible where, you know, Jesus actually told a story of somebody that lost something and was seeking, illustrating to us that we must seek something. We have shown examples in the Bible where Jesus, you know, wanted people to do something and asked them to actually do something about it before they will receive the miracle. There are sometimes they didn't do anything, but sometimes he made them do something. So we, you know, we have to balance the act. And then we have also seen places where he said, look, I am he that openeth and no man can shut. Hallelujah. And I've set before you an open door. Well, if God reveals to you that he has set before you an open door and he leads you to the door and you find that the door is closed when you get there, what are you going to do? Some people will say, well, maybe that wasn't God that spoke to me. I tell you something. That devil is not going to let you have anything that God promised you if he has something to say about it. Amen? Let me tell you that again. That devil is not going to let you have anything if he has something. Jesus said it himself. He said, look, when a strong man keeps his good, he's not going to give it up. That devil has already robbed you of some things that you should have. He said it himself to Jesus' face. He said, look, all these things are given to me. I got it all. He usurped it. It wasn't his own, you know. But when a stronger than he comes upon him, then you got to beat him up, bind him up, and, you know, release, you know, what he's keeping captive. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So don't let the devil fool you that it's not the will of God. Well, If it is not the will of God, it's maybe because you don't know the will of God. So spend time first to find out what the will of God is. Because the devil is very cunning. You know, when instead of people believing God, they you know, we sweep it under the rug and say, well, maybe it wasn't God's will. How do you know it's not God's will? When you don't even know what his will is. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So the will of God is certain. You know, he said it himself. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So, you know, as far as I know, what things soever I desire, you know, because my mind is based on the word of God, you know, when I pray, I believe and I will receive. Praise the Lord. And I'm all going to say in my mind, you know, be ye not of doubtful mind, the scripture says. Because if you doubt, you are not going to receive anything. That's what James told us. You know, so you must be strong in faith. Don't let the devil tell you maybe it's not God's will. Maybe it's not the time. Maybe it's not the time, then you keep knocking. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't give up because it's not the time. You know, well, you know, Hannah, she prayed for many years and she didn't have a child and so forth. And she kept praying. You know, finally one day, the Lord visited her. Amen. And she got one of the greatest prophets in that Old Testament. Samuel came forth like that, you know. So, you know, you stay with the post of prayer. And don't you ever give up. Don't you let anything turn you loose. And don't turn God loose. When you get a hold of God, stay with God. Amen. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, of the things we have spoken, this is the sum of it. That God wants us to be persistent in our faith. And you may have to do three things. Take three kinds of actions. You know, first, if you don't ask anything, you are not going to receive. And then if you ask and you ask amiss, you're still not going to receive. And if you ask and you doubt, you still will not receive. But if you are asking and you are doing everything right, you are believing God and you are doing all these things and you are asking and you are still not receiving, then maybe you got to go to seeking. Praise the Lord. And sometimes you have to fast. Sometimes you have to pray. Oh, yes, sir. You know, you have to do that. You know, you got to roll up your sleeves and get down to business sometimes. Praise ye in the name of the Lord. Because the princes of the air, the prince of Persia, and the prince of this, and the prince of that, they are going to withstand your prayer. You know, like they did for Daniel. His prayer was dispatched. The answer to his prayer. But the devil was going to have something to say about that. You know, so you got to keep in the post of prayer. Hallelujah. And if you, when you've done all that and so forth, and if the door is still closed, you got to keep knocking until God opens the door. Hallelujah. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now I want you this morning, consider what you have heard, and the Lord give you understanding in all things. Amen. Amen, folks. But I am going to pray with you here this morning. You say, well, I understand the word of the Lord. Then you act upon it. Because faith without action is dead. If you understood this message, then you act upon it. And next week when somebody asks you what was preached last Sunday, don't be looking and say you don't remember. Because that means you didn't understand. Put it into action. Amen. You know, as you are asking, be seeking. If you are looking for a job, you got to be seeking. Praise the Lord. You may be looking for anything in your life. You got to seek sometimes. You know. And then sometimes, you know, when God brings the answer your way, you got to recognize. You better recognize that God is answering your prayer. You know, otherwise, you know, you may lose the blessing that he's already bringing. And then sometimes you have to knock. Let's lift up our hands here this morning. Now, I am going to pray a prayer. And every time we stand in the message of the word of the Lord, every time we stand in the word of the Lord brings a special word for his people. And there is a special anointing that God brings with every service and every message. And I'm going to believe with you here this morning. And if you say in your heart that there be things that I've been asking God for, but I haven't received them, well, then this message is for you. There is something I've been looking for, but I haven't found it yet. Well, then this message is for you, that you got to keep looking. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Or you say, well, you know, the Lord showed me that he, you know, put a door before me that'll be open, but every time I get there, the door is closed. Then you got to keep knocking. Hallelujah. And if that's you this morning, and you want me to believe God with you in prayer, I'm going to just take a couple of minutes. I want you to stand forward, step forward. I'm going to believe God together with you. And I'm going to ask the Lord to release an anointing into your heart that will help you to exercise this teaching to its fullness in the name of Jesus Christ. I'll take a minute, and if there's somebody that wants me to pray with you, you step forward and I'll do that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm going to ask the Lord to release upon you. Remember, the Bible says, what things soever you ask in prayer. That is Matthew chapter 21 and 22. Believing, you shall receive. You must believe. Again, the Bible says that if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And again, yet again, the Bible says, what things soever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever we release. So I'm going to release. And I'm going to pray a two-fold prayer this morning. First, I will pray the priestly prayer. And I'm going to stand in the gap for everyone that is standing here this morning. Let us pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we stand in prayer, asking you, Lord, believing you and trusting you for what you have already promised, and that you will release the same into the lives of your people. Even as they believe you, Lord, release the anointing into their lives to operate in this message. Not only to ask, but sometimes they may have to seek, and sometimes they may keep knocking. And let them not walk away from the point of faith until they receive what they are looking for. We give you the Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Now, I am going to pray. I'm going to transition that prayer into the kingly anointing. You know, where we make a decree. Why not? You know, we prayed already, but now we're going to decree something. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command and I release. I command a release.
Amen.
And an opening of the door.
Amen.
The door that you have been knocking, even as the word of God says, let it be open unto you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Remember the message, open ye the gates. Now, let the doors be open.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that which you are seeking, hallelujah, the Bible says you shall find.
Amen.
Therefore, I command even now that God direct your steps to find the thing or the one that you are looking for. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I also command by the word of the Lord that the answer to your prayers that have been held back, I command a release in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise and give you all the glory in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.